Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
We come this morning to Matthew 6, 11. Jesus is teaching us how to pray, and in verse 11, we get to the fourth request in this Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Pray for everything you need. Pray for everything you need, whether it be food or drink or sleep or shelter or eyeglasses or clothes or cars or cell phones or couches or earrings or iPods or hot tubs or televisions or video games or... Did I go a little too far there? Video games? Is Jesus teaching us here to pray for video games? I mean, bread and water, that's fine. But give us this day our hot tubs? God provides all our needs. He does not provide all our wants. But where do you draw the line between what is the definition of a need as opposed to a want? If God will supply everything I need, what does that mean? Everything I need for what? What kind of need are we talking about here? I think there's only one answer to that question that will fit the Sermon on the Mount in the context of the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus' teaching. A need, according to Jesus, is whatever is necessary to do his will and advance his kingdom. That's what we need. That's all we need. Pray for a job? Well, yeah, sure. I mean, I need a job to provide for my family. That's easy enough. That's obvious. A car? Yeah, I need a car to get to work. But what about a boat or an RV? Is that daily bread? Earthly pleasures exist. Why do they exist? Did God just put earthly pleasures on here to tempt us or, you know, to test? Or why are they here? Answer, 1 Timothy 6:17. Earthly pleasures exist to help us delight in God, to teach us how to delight in God and assist us in doing so. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in the present age not to be arrogant or to set their hope on the uncertainty of wealth, but on God who richly provides us with all things for our enjoyment. God created enjoyable things to be enjoyed by his children. It's important that we enjoy them because throughout Scripture, the presence of God is compared to all kinds of earthly pleasures. God created earthly pleasures as samples of his delightfulness. We are to make all of our enjoyment then of earthly pleasures acts of fellowship with God, training to teach us how wonderful God's presence is. And we do that when the enjoyment of the earthly pleasure is not an end in itself, but is just a means to the end of enjoying God, having fellowship with God. So that's what earthly pleasure is for. It's for you to enjoy so that you can enjoy God. But that is a dangerous thing to preach. It's dangerous for me to stand up here and preach that because of James 5, which says, verse 1, now listen, you rich people, that's us, weep and wail because of the misery that's coming upon you. Verse 5, you have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. How do you know when you've gotten to that point? How do you know when you've gone too far with earthly pleasures? James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. That's sin. That's wrong. We should not ever pray for stuff for our pleasures. So how do we know when our enjoyment of earthly pleasures is no longer the right kind of enjoyment of God, but has crossed the line over into just sinful hedonism? In my study of this, I found 8 principles for knowing when the enjoyment of an earthly pleasure has become a sinful luxury and self-indulgence. The first principle is this. You know that you've crossed the line into living in luxury and self-indulgence when you aren't content to live without that thing. Number 2, second way to discern if you have crossed the line into self-indulgence is when the price that you pay for this pleasure outweighs the benefit, the spiritual benefit that it brings. Enjoying pleasures brings a little bit of spiritual benefit, not a lot, and other things are more important. And if you pay a price that's too high, then it's out of balance. I get that from Proverbs 23. There's a section in Proverbs 23 about drunkenness. And the whole argument in that section is drunkenness is bad because of the price that you have to pay for it. It might bring you some pleasure, but the price you have to pay for it is way too high. The cost is too high, and so it's foolish to do it. And so that's a principle for us to take in general. If your recreation is ruining your marriage, it's not worth it. If it's putting you into debt, if your hobby is putting you into debt, it's not worth it. If it's interfering with your ministry, it's not worth it. If it's interfering with developing friendships, those friendships are more important. It's not worth it. And anytime you're sacrificing more important things for the sake of your recreation or pleasures, then you've crossed the line. Okay, third, an earthly pleasure is sinful when it enslaves you. 1 Timothy 3:3, at one time we too were enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. Anytime you're hooked, then you've crossed the line. And I don't care if it's cocaine or coffee. If you have a habit that you're doing too much of and your efforts to back off, to quit or to back off have failed, then you're enslaved and you've crossed over the line. Number four, when it becomes the object of your love. 2 Timothy 3:4 says that there will be terrible times in the last days because people will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Everybody enjoys pleasure, obviously, by definition, but when you go from enjoying pleasure and using pleasure to teach you about the goodness of God to actually loving the pleasure itself so that your love terminates on the pleasure and the pleasure becomes the love of your life, you've crossed the line. Fifth, you've crossed into self-indulgence when your hope is wrapped up in that earthly pleasure. Hope. Hope. 1 Timothy 5:5 says, the widow who puts her hope in God continues day and night to pray and ask God for help, but the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. So you see the contrast there. Living for pleasure is the opposite of putting your hope in God. It's an issue of hope. The one who lives for pleasure in the wrong way is opposite of the one who hopes in God. The more wealth you have, the more earthly pleasures you have access to, the greater the temptation to put your hope in that. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, but to put it in God. Now, you have to understand what hope is. Hope, it's not hope-so kind of hope, like, you know, I hope the Broncos can get a running game against the Jets or something. It's not a futile hope. It's the hope in Scripture is something very specific. It's talking about being happy today because of some great thing that's coming in the future. You're looking forward to this thing in the future. It's so great, and it's so certain that it puts you in a good mood today. That's hope. That's what hope is. And having access to earthly pleasures and being wealthy makes us tend to put our hope in earthly pleasures so that we're looking to those things. How do you know when earthly pleasures become too high a priority? It's when that earthly pleasure is the thing that you're looking for tomorrow to get yourself in a good mood today. Well, at least I've got this thing, you know, the weekend. At least I got this vacation. At least I got this. And you're looking forward to some earthly pleasure to make you happy today, to keep you propped up emotionally today. That is hope. You place that in earthly pleasures instead of the grace of God, you've crossed over into idolatry. Our hope is to be in God alone. All right, number six. You've crossed the line when you prefer that thing, that pleasure, above what God promises in the future. Hebrews 11:25, Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Sometimes you have to make a choice. Sometimes you can either have the earthly pleasure or draw near to God, but you can't have both because the pleasure involves sin. And when you have a choice, you have to forfeit one to get the other. Anytime you choose the earthly pleasure above the grace of God, obviously, you've gone too far. Anytime you prefer temporal pleasure over eternal reward, you've gone too far. Number seven, You've gone too far when it chokes the word of God, the work of the word of God in your heart. It chokes out that the activity of the Holy Spirit using the word of God in your heart. Luke 8:14. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. So you've gone too far when earthly pleasure begins to interfere with the work of the scriptures on your heart. You're trying to read your Bible, you're having your devotions, you're distracted because you're thinking about this pleasure that you're getting, this earthly thing that you got. Your heart is reluctant to accept certain things. You're reading and you say, oh, accept that. And then there's one thing, oh, I'm kind of resisting that. And you're a little reluctant because that principle might interfere with your enjoyment of this pleasure. And you're deep down, you know that. And so your eyes kind of glaze, you know, skip past it. Because your flesh doesn't want to be restricted in its indulgence of the pleasure. Or sometimes it can just dull your affections towards God in general. You involve yourself with so much earthly pleasures that you're just not as excited anymore. You're not as excited about your ministry at church as you are about your next enjoyment of that pleasure. You think more about that thing than you think about God's word. You study that thing more than you study Scripture. Like the guy who has all the statistics of his favorite ball team memorized, he can rattle them off, and he has no Scripture memorized. Or somebody who's got the whole storyline of her favorite TV program. She can tell you all the characters, what they're thinking, how they dress, everything they're doing, and she can rattle it all off, no Scripture memorized. And then finally, the pursuit of an earthly pleasure is self-indulgence rather than legitimate enjoyment of God's creation when it pushes your heart towards selfishness. When you find it pushing you towards more selfishness instead of love. James 4:1, what causes quarrels and fights among you? Why are you fighting? Don't they come from your pleasures that battle within you? You want something and you don't get it. When enjoyment of God's gifts is put in its proper place, it does not push you towards selfishness. It does not hinder and interfere with loving people. If you find yourself getting angry a lot, chances are it's because your love for pleasure is just bloated out of proportion. It's ironic, isn't it, that indulging in earthly pleasures tends to make us irritable. You'd think it'd be just the opposite. I'm indulging in pleasure, I'd be happy. No, you indulge yourself in earthly pleasure, it makes you irritable because those earthly pleasures are so ultimately unsatisfying that it makes your soul just gets resentful. Plus, if anyone interferes with your enjoyment of that pleasure, then you're angry at them. If enjoying recreation or some other earthly pleasure increases your love for God, and it doesn't violate any of those eight principles or any other biblical principle that's in Scripture, and I'm sure there's many more. If that's the case, then it does fit into the category of daily bread, and it is the proper subject of prayer. So yes, jacuzzis are in there, even video games. Any earthly pleasure that can help you enjoy God without violating any of those principles is included. But the moment it begins to violate one of those guidelines, it becomes hedonism, lust for pleasure, and it is not fellowship with God at all, which means there's absolutely no place for it in our prayers. In the Q&A in the first service, somebody asked, is there anything that God promises to provide for us outside of our daily bread? No, just daily bread. And we don't want anything besides our daily bread because daily bread is everything we need to glorify Him, which is all we need. There's no place for praying for anything that does not advance the kingdom of God.
Of the eight principles in today's podcast, which one or two do you think you need to give some more thought to? Just to remind you quickly, you know your indulgence in some earthly pleasure has gone overboard when you need that thing in order to be content. Number one. Number two, when the price you pay for the pleasure is too high. Number three, when it enslaves you, you can't quit. Number four, when it becomes the object of your love. Number 5, when your hope is in that thing rather than in God. Number 6, when you prefer that thing above what God promises. Number 7, when that thing chokes the work of the Word of God out of your heart. And number 8, when that thing impels selfishness rather than love. Which one of those do you need to give some consideration to?
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.